Amen. Good morning.
Take this off, can I?
Hey, I just have a request before we get started. When we do go back to greeting with handshakes and hugs, can we not do any slobbering, please? That's just a little over the top for me. At least make sure that you have permission before you do any slobbering on people, okay? There won't be slobbering. This morning, we're going to be reading Jeremiah chapter 31. And so if you have a Bible and you want to follow along, I recommend going there, Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. Before that, let's pray. God, we thank you so much for all the ways that you are teaching us. God, help us to be open to your teaching. Too often we miss it. We miss our chances to learn from what you're saying to us. So God, let this not be a missed opportunity, but help us to open our hearts and our ears to hear your word. And may your word be good news to us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So the scripture is, as I said, Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34. It says, "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Have you ever gotten one of those emails that when you first read it, you thought it was for you? And it had your name in the beginning, and then it said all these really nice things about how much you were appreciated and how great you are. And then you realized that everyone else got the same email. You ever been on one of those emails? And it doesn't mean that necessarily the words were bad or it didn't, but it means a little less, doesn't it? Sometimes it takes away from any meaning at all because it's impersonal. It's not really for you. It's got nice things to say, but it really doesn't have much to do with you. You know the email I'm talking about? Or maybe it's a text. "Hey, I'm just checking on you." And then you realize it's a real estate company or something like that. You know, you get these weird things. Well, sometimes I think that I wonder if that's how God feels about some of the things that we do for God. This passage, God declares through Jeremiah that a new day is coming, a day when God will make a new covenant with God's people. It won't be like the old one, because the people already broke that one. But what makes it new is that it will be written on the hearts of the people. It won't just be about what they do. See, the old covenant, I think it was always supposed to be about God's relationship with people. In fact, the first covenant really came out of the Exodus story, that God led the people out of Egypt and gave them this law to show them how to be in relationship with God, to show them how to be free. You knew they were slaves their whole lives. But they turned that law, that covenant, into just a set of laws. It became merely about behavior. It wasn't about the heart. It wasn't about love. It wasn't personal, right? At least that's what the people turned it into. God says they broke that covenant, and so a new one needs to be made. In Matthew chapter 15, there's this story of Jesus. And Jesus is talking to some Pharisees and scribes. They're presumably having a meal together, and the Pharisees and scribes are concerned because Jesus' disciples have skipped the hand washing rituals. See, they had these complicated rituals, according to the law, for cleansing to stay ceremonially pure. They had to wash a certain way, and the disciples skipped that part. Now, if you read the story, what you discover is that this conversation with the Pharisees happens right after Jesus has just healed a bunch of people. It says anyone who touched his gown was healed. That's a pretty amazing story. And you would think that that would be kind of the main focus, but these Pharisees don't seem too impressed by that. These Pharisees and scribes, these really religious people, aren't concerned about, they're not excited about what Jesus is doing. Instead, they're concerned that Jesus' disciples aren't doing the rituals right. They're not following the law. And so Jesus says to them, quoting the book of Isaiah, he says, "You hypocrites, Isaiah prophesied about you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines.'" Jesus calls the most religious people of his day hypocrites. It's not because they're doing the wrong thing. Keep that in mind. The ritual washing was part of the law. There was nothing wrong with doing that if you're doing it for the right reasons. But what Jesus calls them hypocrites because they don't care about the right things. What they care about is this outward behavior, this ritual, getting the words right, doing the right things. But it has nothing to do with relationship. It has nothing to do with love. If it had anything to do with love, you think they might, I don't know, put it in perspective that Jesus just healed a bunch of people? They might have something to say about that, but they're concerned with these minor things, these outward behaviors. It's a little bit like that email, right? That has the right words and it's addressed to the right person, but it's not really for them. These Pharisees are doing the right things and they've addressed their action to the right God, but it's not really for God. Jesus shows us that he's bringing a new covenant. He's bringing the covenant that Jeremiah is talking about, because the kind of covenant that Jesus is about isn't just about behavior. It's not just making sure the email says the right words. It's about relationship. Jesus shows us that God doesn't just want our words and actions. God wants our hearts. "I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people." God doesn't just want us to be obedient. God wants to know us and for us to know God. Remember, it says, "No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from least of them to the greatest." Have you recently stopped to ask yourself why we do this church thing that we do? Have you ever really stopped and thought about why we're here? What is this about? Is it, you know, why do we come here? Why do we log on to the church service? Why do we do this? Is it because we're supposed to? Is it to make somebody else happy? Is it because deep down inside we know somehow our parents will figure out that we didn't make it and they'll get mad at us? You know, they'll be disappointed. Is it because your wife or your husband really wants you to be here? Is that why we're doing this? Is it just out of habit? Your Sunday schedule just said come to church, so you came. Is that why we do this? Is our coming to church anything like those generic emails? It's got the right stuff behind it. The words are right. We're here, right? We made it. But it's not really for God. Now, first of all, there's no shame in that, because the fact is, God will make this about God however you get here. God accepts you just as you are, no matter what brought you through these doors. But I think we need to be honest with ourselves when our actions really get divorced from the God that they're supposed to be for. God wants our hearts, not just our actions. And let me tell you, this is an important thing, because, and maybe something we don't think about too often, is that people see this. You know that a lot of people are pretty turned off by church, particularly people in my generation. I always feel an obligation to come up and remind you that one, because I'm the young guy here sometimes, I need to remind you that my generation is pretty turned off by church. Many of the people in my generation are pretty turned off by this. And it's not because they have something against God. It's not even because they have something against these kinds of practices. It's because it's not that they don't believe God, it's that they don't really believe us. A lot of people look at church and wonder if it really means anything. Is it really real? Or it's not, the God is real, but is this fake? And so sometimes I think people confuse church and the kind of sometimes the going through the motions that we do and the you know, just doing it because it's a habit. They confuse that with the word and the God that we serve, and they end up walking away from both of them. Folks, we are not here to do church. That's not why we're here. We are here to give our hearts to God. That's why we're here. Whatever brought you in these doors, habit or to make your husband pleased or to, you know, make sure you don't feel the guilt of your parents haunting you, God has brought you here to meet God, to be encountered, to be known by the living God. When God has our hearts, we begin to love the things God loves. We begin to care about the things God cares about. We start to love the people God loves, and we start to treat people differently. Our lives change outside of these walls. And it's not because we're supposed to. And it's not because, you know, we're trying to keep the family happy. It's to be known and to know the living God. And people see that. People see that. When God has your heart, the world knows it. And it cannot be denied. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. Folks, God doesn't really care that much about our singing and about the words we say and even about our behavior. God cares about us. God cares about you. God wants your heart. And that is what this is really all about. Let's pray. God, you are good. You are so good that no matter how bad we may be sometimes, your goodness penetrates. Your goodness overcomes and overwhelms. And God, whatever brings us here, remind us, God, liberate us with the truth that it's our hearts that you want. God, that is freeing because it means we don't have to get it right all the time or behave good enough all the time. We don't have to measure up and we don't have to fulfill some ritual. But God, we are free to be in relationship with you. And God, we trust that when we are in relationship with you, when you have our hearts, you transform us. You make us into your people because you are our God and we are yours. God, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's worship.